Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, yeah, A-Dream, in the building, shout out to Bree.
What up, Bree?
And we finna go in, look.
Yes, sir.
Look. We came to break down a few topics here. So if you got time, sit and acknowledge it. It's positive, uplifting, and honest here. Keep your ears open and soaking all the words spoken. A couple of jokes to keep it fun, get your laugh on. And maybe a few pointers to get your cash on. See, Bree, she all about building. Straight up out the NY, Brooklyn in the building. All the way down to the southern states. West Coast on up to the Great Lakes. So you fragging that gold, so if you ain't fragile. Through the net connection, we streaming you to Mexico.
So welcome to the life of Bree. Breaking down relationships to the third degree.
This is the Bree life, what you live in life.
Welcome to the Bree life,
how we live in life.
From politics to the current events, economics to race, whether you're poor or you're rich.
This is the Bree life, what you live in life.
Welcome to the Bree life,
how we live in life.
Coming to you live and streaming to all four points of the globe. It's your girl, Brooklyn born and Crown Heights raised. Living life and breathing life. It's Bree, baby.
Well, peace and blessings. It's your girl, Bree, and you have reached the Bree Life Radio Show. You know what tonight is. Tonight is Freestyle Thursdays. So tonight is no holds barred. You call in to the number 424-220-1862. That number again is 424-220-1862. You can follow us on blogtalkradio.com/Bree Life. You can follow us at Facebook at Bree Life Radio. And the same for Twitter. So let's jump right in. It's Freestyle Thursdays, baby. Firstly, I'd like to make a little announcement. I got a very nice phone call from Community Board 9 Chairman Demetrius. He was very nice to welcome me and invite me to PS161's PTA meeting. Since March is Women's Day, or actually Women's Month, they are celebrating at the school. So they're doing a lot of activities trying to promote positive things for young women to do and participate in. So I'm going to be the guest speaker at PS 161 for Women's Day on March 19th at 6 p.m. So for all the PS 161 alumnus that are listening to the sound of my voice, please come in and support your girl Bree and Bree Life Radio. So what are we going to talk about tonight? What are we going to hear tonight? We got 2 hours to be on the show, so let's jump right in. I'm not going to start with my freestyle. I think I might wait to the middle of the show. But, you know, we can't really get things going without bringing one of our most special, spectacular hosts from the tumbleweed state of Texas, none other than Brother Mark. So let's bring him on the line. Peace and blessings, Mark.
Peace and blessings, Sister Bree.
What's happening? What kind of day did you have? It's Freestyle Thursdays, baby.
Oh, it was a good day. Oh, it was a good day. It was a beautiful day. I was recovering.
So tell us.
I was recovering.
You're recovering? Are you recovering from what women, what do women really want? Is that what you're recovering from?
From the brawl. the brawl. The Wednesday night brawl.
So come on, brother.
God.
So know you got something juicy to talk about, because it's what? It's Freestyle Thursdays.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. It's one of them days that, you know, there's a couple things on the brother's mind, and, you know, me, I have themes that I kind of run all the time through my head, and it's just the whole concept of me and you talked about this topic, and again, and it's the whole concept of responsibility and responsibility.
Not tonight.
Yes, always. Because, you gotta let me roll, because, you know,
listen,
it was
Chris from New York said that he could talk about this subject for you.
Kenny, personal responsibility? Yeah, well, you know.
Not personal responsibility. The responsibility for someone's emotions that you provoke in them. But come on now, I need some energy. Mark from Houston, Texas. It's freestyle.
I'm wearing freestyle. It's about freestyle.
Hurry up now. It's only a two-hour show.
Responsibility is really simple. You know, I was thinking about this yesterday. I said, you know, I have this feeling about this. So I Googled it today just to see. I said, you know what? I might be crazy. It could be me, and maybe I'm just that far out on what I'm saying. So I decided to Google the word. If anybody decides they're sitting in front of their computer, Google emotional responsibility. It was quite interesting. I thought I wrote some of that stuff, and I had never read any of it. But it just crossed my mind after having such a lashing about this whole concept of personal responsibility. So I decided to go online, and I looked, and I was like, wow, unbelievable. It's so much written on it, I didn't even know. But it was just my thing, because after going through various changes, and I was telling someone this, that, you know, I had experiences with relationships, and in a relationship, I realized that I may have some hurt or some pain or some distress, and it's easy to say it's your fault. You hurt me, you did this. But almost everything that I've been reading about personal responsibility today aligns me with what I believe is true. It's never a thought that someone doesn't have the ability to say or do something, but you have to be the one to respond. And it was funny. I had a conversation with my friends today, and we were talking about the whole concept, because she was basically saying, well, you know, you should have responsibilities for doing X, Y, and Z, and we were talking about it. But then I said, you know what? If you don't want to be upset about something, you won't be. And it's kind of like a guy. She said, but you could provoke me. If your intentions is to get me to do certain things, you could do that. I said, okay, let's look at comedians. Comedians every day get on stages everywhere and try to get people to laugh. They're successful, and they're not successful based upon the person's desire to agree that this is funny. If they don't want to laugh, they're not laughing, and I can't make you laugh, so to speak, not with a joke. And so, therefore, when I laugh, it's because of something in me that finds something that you said funny, but it's still with me. So I have the ability to control that flow. And that's all I was saying yesterday. I'm not saying that a person shouldn't take in consideration how people operate, but regardless of whether they do or not, me, I am responsible. So when I'm hurting because of something that I didn't like, I didn't see right, I didn't think you did, but it was still me. So, therefore, I have control over that. That's all I was ever saying. And I think that, to me, I just wish more people would take more personal responsibility for their emotions, as opposed to saying, you hurt me, you did this to me. And, I mean, I'm reading this. If you go, I was going online, I was reading this one thing. It says levels of emotional responsibility. And the first level, it says basic emotional responsibility. And it talks about these expressions such as, they made me feel, it made me feel, I made them feel, and any others denote external emotional responsibility are first charged to I statements as opposed to you statements of blaming. So I felt this about what you did. It's not about you. It's about I'm doing the feeling, because I have to be responsible for my feeling. And that's like emotional responsibility 101. You would teach children this. So that's what I'm saying.
So that's your
freestyle. In a relationship.
Okay, so that's your freestyle?
I'm finished for the night.
Okay. Well, I want you to, I'm not going to disengage your call. I didn't put the hook on you, so don't worry about that. We're going to take our next caller. Peace and blessings. You have reached the Bree Life Radio Show. I'm your host, Bree, and it's Freestyle Thursdays. Who may I have the pleasure of speaking to?
Candy.
Candy. It's like candy.
You already know.
That's right. Okay. So tell me where you're calling from.
Norristown, Pennsylvania.
Norristown, Pennsylvania. Okay. So I'm sure this is your first time calling in. So let me tell you what the rules of engagement for Freestyle for Thursdays are. There are no rules. Whatever you want to talk about, let's talk about it. What's your freestyle tonight?
Well, I was actually trying to figure out why do everybody have to be so conceited about themselves, especially the ladies.
Okay. Well, what forum are you coming to this conclusion?
Because
like, I mean, are you gathering this in your workplace, women that you've grown up with, people on Facebook? What are you talking about?
It's basically on Facebook and in my workplace.
Okay, give me some examples.
I have two girls. I'm kind of cool with, and there's one of them, but it's like they all buddy-buddy, and then when somebody else tries to talk to them and everything, it's like they just want to ignore them, and they think they did shit and stuff like that, and it's not fair. Like, you know, other people are around, and I try to talk, and they would just look at me like I'm retarded, like, is just wrong, and they think they all bad, and they want to do whatever they want to do.
Okay. Well, here's what I say to that. You got to get in where you fit in. You got to make your own flow. You don't go with anybody else's flow. So these young women, they think that they're the shit. Well, you know, that's how they're flowing. And that's the energy that they're putting out there, and what they put out there will manifest itself back to them. So that's not the flow that you're on. You're in a more conscious flow that you're conscious about everyone that's around you. You want to be engaging. You want to be inclusive. So, you know, you just put your energy out there, and don't worry about those two chicks.
and no matter what, like, any type of where I go at, like, I'm a type of person that keeps it open, that likes to have fun. I'm like one of them class clown, like when you was in high school. You know, I like to keep it fun and you know, everybody together, but it's like, it's really hard. And, like, I'm not even sweating it because, yeah, there's some days that I don't pay no mind, and some days that, yeah, you know, I try to keep in and all that, but it's just hard. And it's hard to also keep people happy, you know, and I'm a type of person that likes to keep people happy, keep them smiling, keep them laughing, and it's just hard to do it. And that's why I don't understand why some of these girls out here, they got to be like that.
It's been my experience growing up that, you know, you just have to be who you are. And, you know, whoever is in acceptance of who you are, that's who you give, who you share time and space with. You can't walk through life wondering why people the way they are, because this is the world that we live in, and we don't live in it by ourselves. There's a whole different lot of types of people in the world. And you got to either be accepting or say the answer is no and let them go. Keep it going and move around.
Yeah, exactly.
Move around, baby, move around. But I thank you for calling in. I'm not going to hang up on you. I'm going to put you on mute, and I'm going to take another caller. continue to follow the Bree Life Radio Show, and peace and blessings. Okay?
Okay.
Thank you so much. Well, we're going to take another caller. Peace and blessings. This is Bree Life Radio. I'm your girl, Bree, and this is Freestyle Thursdays. Who may I have the pleasure of speaking to? Hello? Okay.
Bree?
Yes? Hello? I can hear you.
I didn't push one this time. I was just listening.
Is this my Aunt Pearl?
Yes, honey. How are you?
Well, this is my Aunt Pearl from Detroit, the famous city where I love to come and dance. How you doing, Aunt Pearl?
Well, I'm doing good. I'm doing good, honey. How are you doing?
I'm fantastic. Now,
all right.
You can't come on the Bree Life Radio Show and not have a freestyle.
All right, I got a question, Cabrina.
Okay.
I got a question.
I'm ready for you.
All right. How come the process, the dating process these days, is as soon as you start dating, people start moving in with each other?
Well, you know what? This is not something that luckily for us, and, you know, Aunt Pearl, I know you've been following the show because Aunt Ethel Lee told me that you have been, and I really appreciate that. Look, I know that you know that I have a guest caller on the line from Houston, Texas. So the good thing is that you're going to be able to get both the male and the female perspective. We're going to start, we're going to let the man go first tonight. So, Brother Mark, I want to introduce you to my Aunt Pearl from Detroit.
What's up, Aunt Pearl? How you doing?
Hi, Mark. I'm good. How are you, sweetheart?
I am well. I'm doing well.
So you heard my aunt's question. She wants to know that why does the dating process seem to move along so quickly where people are just immediately moving in with one another? Is that right, Aunt Pearl?
Right.
Okay.
So
go, Mark.
So let me ask Aunt Pearl something real quick about that. So when you say move, so give me a scenario. What are you hearing people doing? What's going on?
Here's what it seems like to me. We met, we were sexually attracted, and about a month or two, we move in together. Now this is no longer my boyfriend. This is my fiancé. That word has lost all of its meaning because everybody has fiancés. Nobody just go together anymore. You know.
So when you say fiancé, to me, if I'm correct to believe fiancé is someone that's going to lead to marriage?
Well, lead to, in my day, you got engaged. That was your fiancé. You had a ring on your finger, and you were engaged. That was your fiancé.
Okay. Well, I don't know. I think that the dynamic is somewhat different. Again, I don't know what the age group we're talking about. Any particular age group you're talking about?
The 80s? No.
I mean, 80s.
I'm talking about right now. Even before that. This change that you guys are going through, where you just constantly move in with each other, is just a last 15 or 20 year bit.
Yeah, I agree. I agree to some extent. Well, I don't know. It's kind of weird because I don't know. Things that I saw when I grew up, boy, I don't know. I think it was a beginning, and I always think that this whole thing is a gradual progression. It's not so much jump. It's usually by the time you've seen it, it's already started moving prior to the time we're seeing it. I think what's happening now, though, is I think people feel that we don't have to really align ourselves with any kind of social social framework that says this is how it has to be done, meaning if I feel like this is what I want to do, if I feel it's correct, if I feel it's right, and if it's right in 5 minutes, because I talked to one young lady a long time, not that long ago, and I remember she mentioned to me when I was talking about what I wanted to be into a relationship quick, and her position was, what's the issue with time? I mean, if you like somebody right now and you like them now, then what are you waiting for? You know, if I like you today and I really feel an affection for you or closeness for you, then I can move right into a relationship, a real relationship with you, because my emotions are telling me
so
you're
you
good.
So are you saying that we can get married? Are you saying that we can just immediately get married?
Well, here's the funny thing about it. I am not saying that. I'm not saying we can, but
well,
I am
well,
saying that.
What are you saying? We're going to move in and do what? What are we going to do?
Well, what we're going to move in and do is instead of me coming over to your house or you coming over to my house, we like each other that much, so we can just stay and do this right here with each other. Because, number one, marriages have not proven in recent years to be all that great anyway, so why marry the person? We can just get
because
together and see how
Let me say this, Mark. First of all, here's the difference. The difference is, if my bag is packed up behind the couch and you piss me off and I'm not connected to you financially, spiritually, or any other way, I'm out of here. But if I was married to you and I know that this is supposed to be a lifetime thing, I'll cut you some slack.
Okay.
And we'll try to get along and make it work.
Let me say this.
If I'm not obligated to you and I move in with you and I stay with you long enough to see the nasty part of you, I don't want to marry you.
Right. And guess what? For me,
but
now,
if I'm married to you already, if I'm all married to you already, then I'll learn how to love them.
Okay. And see, I think this is what I'm glad you said that, because I think we're in a different time. When I say we're in a different time, the women and even the men that I'm talking to, they don't want to be anywhere that they're not feeling. And I don't want to have to work on something if I'm not emotionally vested. So the moment that I feel like you're not going to reciprocate emotionally to me or attach with me in a certain way, then I don't want to stay there. I don't want to be obligated, because duty means I don't have to love you to stay. I'm obligated by law to be your husband or wife. So I don't want nobody to be with me because of some duty. I want them to be with me because they like me and they want to preferably be with me. The moment you don't want to be with me, then you do need to move around, because I don't want to be in a relationship with someone that don't want to be in a relationship with me.
Well, okay, well, you know what, Mark? At this time, I'm going to bring our other most famous guest caller on. It is none other than Chris from New York. And Aunt Pearl, the good thing about this discussion is that you're going to have two opposing perspectives, because I'm sure Chris is going to be able to come on the line and give you another point of view. Okay? Without further ado, we're bringing Chris from New York on. Peace and blessings, Chris.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm fine.
What's up, Mark?
What's going on, Chris?
I'm all right. Well,
Also have on the line my Aunt Pearl from Detroit.
Yeah, I know. I've been listening for 15 minutes waiting to get on. I heard everything.
Okay, thank you very much, Chris.
Okay.
For the text message. So, Chris.
To give my little view on what Aunt Pearl is saying, I think that I have an opinion which has to do with religion. And the fact is that I can't speak for any other states or anything like that, but 90% of the people that I see in relationships and not getting married, and not doing, following these old, I'm going to call them old school, because it's just not how people get down these days. These people are not getting married, and they're not making commitments. And a lot of that was stuff that we learned years ago in church. The fact is that these people don't even go to church. You know, you got people. I had a couple come to me recently and say, "Hey, listen, you're the member of such and such a church. I heard that you had to be a member to get married there. Me and my fiance. Do you think that you can help us?" I had to laugh because the last time I checked, you know, marriage is a ceremony in the Bible, or the prayer book, or the common, whatever. You know, the point is that it's a religious ceremony. Now,
and illegal.
Yeah. Well, the fact of the matter is that's two different ceremonies. One you go downtown for, the other one you go to church for. When you get married downtown, they don't talk about none of the stuff that people are actually looking for as part of a marriage. The only thing you're doing is binding your social security numbers together. When you get married in church, you know, we would hope that you have two people who share a belief system, which is part of what used to support these relationships.
And support the family. And it supports the family.
But what I'm saying is, with the lack of structure, where you coming from out of space, I'm coming from under the ground somewhere, and me and you come together, I mean, it has elongated the process as far as me and you getting to know each other, as far as me deciding on you and you deciding on me. It has elongated the process. Meanwhile, in the last 7 to 10 years, our country, United States, has fallen into an economic depression. Okay? Now, when you add in people trying to get to know each other, and then you add into that ingredient of people not having as much money as they need, that's where these people say, "Hey, I'm paying $500 a month rent over here. You paying $500 a month over there. Me and you spend all our time together. We should just move in together, and we could spend that money and buy a car." And I believe that it's more financial than anything else.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Because let me finish what I'm saying. Because the reality is that you're not going to get any more sex if you live together than you do if you're seeing that person every day anyway. So the reason why they're moving in together is financial.
Okay. Okay. Well,
okay, go ahead.
So then, is it when you meet someone and maybe you're 40 years old and you have to say, well, you're talking about your life, well, when I used to live with John and when I used to live with James and when I used to live with Mac and when I used to live with Chris, I mean, does that get run down to you guys too?
Well, I think it's on both sides. I don't think that this problem is gender related, because the women are moving in with the men and the men are moving in with the women.
It could go both ways. I mean, the guy could say the same thing. He lived with Mary Jane and Sally and a bunch of other people, you know, and I feel the same way about him. He's already raggedy.
Well, here's the thing. This is where Niecy jumps in.
Okay.
Traditions have been greatly compromised. And I think what has happened, and I have to piggyback off of what Chris said, is that values are not taught at home. No one is telling their children that they should be going to church and learning about spirituality. Therefore, children that become teenagers, that become young adults, are not understanding really how this man-woman thing really evolved and how we got to be where we are today.
Uh-huh.
And it all stems from the basic thing that I talk about in every show and basically in every conversation that I have. We're not communicating well. We don't communicate well with each other. So a man meets a woman meets a man, and, I mean, we go on a couple of dates, and we're digging one another. And then we share personal information about the involvement of our lives and where we, how we got to be where we are today. Then we start looking at maybe the last 6 months, a year, 2 years, and think, you know, it ain't been all that great by myself in the struggle. And now here's somebody that consistently wants to be up in my face. Okay? So now they're saying, well, you know what? Since you consistently want to be in my face, and I consistently want to be in your face, and you halfway decent, and I'm halfway decent, and you seem responsible, and I seem responsible, and your level of drama is not that bad, and my level of drama is not that bad, and we don't have too many bags to intermingle, so now we got to get a larger SUV to carry all this crap. Let's move in together. Not really thinking about what the long-term effect is going to be because we didn't take the time to do enough due diligence.
Can I have a question? I have a question.
No.
So,
no.
Anybody on this?
No. No. I'm talking. So,
yeah, that's right.
So, this is why usually, and I haven't heard too many successful too many successful situations where people just jumped in and started living with one another without really, really getting to know one another. Now, here's the other side of that, Aunt Pearl, and you know this better than me. You don't really get to know somebody until you live with them. And I don't care what kind of relationship it is. It could be two friends that grew up together but decided to become roommates. Now they living with one another, and they start learning about each other. It could be a man and a woman. It could be whatever the situation is. You don't learn about another human being until you see them day in, day out, morning, afternoon, and night, what their habits are, how many times they go to the bathroom, what they usually wear going to bed, you know, what kind of tone they talk in during a particular time of day. You don't learn a person until you live with them. So that's the chance that people tend to take. And then that chance becomes magnified by not doing your due diligence before you make that commitment, because that's a commitment there. That's really a commitment that people are not taking into consideration. So Brother Mark wanted to ask a question. So, Mark?
So I'm hearing that Chris said economic reason. I'm hearing Aunt mentioned that we, you know, there were more calls for staying together, and if we made a commitment that was based upon marriage, and that Chris kind of backed that up when he mentioned that, you know, the religious piece, so the traditional piece is missing, and then I heard you mention this whole concept of rushing in and not making considerations and doing due diligence. So what my question about all that is, so that means that people are getting, I'm talking about divorce now, I'm not even talking about living, because see, it's two
components to this.
But her question, we got to focus on her question. Her question was, why? I believe we need to stay focused on her question, because her question was, why do people haphazardly wind up living with one another?
Okay.
And there are a lot of motivations, and I think we all kind of touched on a lot of people's motivations. Sometimes it's loneliness. I was talking to a gentleman last night, and I made him aware of that statistics show, because he's going to be divorced shortly. And I said, well, statistics show that men probably from the age of 35 to 55, on an average, remarry within an 18-month to 24-month period. So loneliness is a motivation.
Mm-hmm.
Chris said money. Money is a motivation.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that you don't want to be dating anymore, because this is a common topic that I discuss with both men and women. Being in a singlehood is not great, and people are tired of the dating. It's frustrating. It really is. So this is really what is going on in today's society, Auntie. I know
Okay, but I had a question I want to ask, and you didn't let me finish.
Okay.
My question is, my question about all of what I'm hearing is, so we believe that if we did it a different way, we would have different results. That's what I'm asking, I guess, because that's all I'm wondering.
Well, different actions always provoke a different reaction. So yeah, I believe that. What about you, Chris?
Can I respond? Well, can I say this? That's not always true. Different roles can take you to the same place. So that's not true. That's not always true, because all I can say about that is that marriages are ending too, just like relationships are not lasting. That are not.
Well, maybe if we entered into those marriages in a different form than what we have been over the last 25 years, when the divorce rate has gone up by an additional 25%, that we would be getting a different result.
That might be one of the reasons, but it might not be. That's what I'm so I don't know, because
well,
there also could be some social changes as well. But I'm just saying, I'm out.
Well, those are the changes that I'm referencing. It needs to be social.
Well, no, I'm talking about social changes when it comes to the structure of gender and roles in society. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about living with nobody stuff. That's a whole other thing. And that's
what we're talking about now. We're talking about living together. That's her freestyle.
No, what I'm saying is that some of the social pressures that are or the social changes that took place in the late 60s, early 70s, pushed and promoted where we got in 2012, when whoever was in their 20s and in the early 70s, those are the people who started promoting what we're seeing now. And so we're just a byproduct of that. We're a byproduct of that, you know.
Okay.
So that means that I'm just saying, so in the 20s, so that was what? I don't know, 40 years ago. So people that are in their 60s and 70s created what we have now.
Okay, what are you saying on Pearl?
So it's all the fault of the sexual and drug revolution generation?
That was the generation that started all of this. They had free love.
That is so funny. My grandson said, Grandma, you guys had the best life. You went through all those sexual revolutions and the drug revolution. You guys had it all.
But we're the byproduct of that, though. We are the byproduct of that revolution. But you got to remember why you all wanted free sex and y'all wanted to move around. Because y'all don't really like a lot of the stuff that was taking place prior to that time. See, revolutions and movements start out of a restlessness that people are experiencing and feeling. Right or wrong?
True.
So you got to remember, I've had some real candid conversations with some people in their 80s, and they were telling me, they said, you know, the good old days wasn't all that good as much as people say, but we just had fewer options, so we got in, we did what we did. But when the options opened up, we start considering other things.
But I think
so,
you're on the right.
That's just an older guy telling me that. I don't know. You know, that was his point of view, obviously, but I don't know.
Okay. Well Auntie, did you?
A lot of those guys in our generation have that point of view.
What did you say?
But one thing about that generation, mostly, you know, our generation, we took care of our children. That's something that's not being done these days, on the scale.
But you
well, in fairness, in fairness to a lot of men that are single and have children, or divorced or separated and have children. I know a lot of good dads out there.
There are really more. I'm going to tell you, I think about
and
that
And I think
there
are more now than of the last 10 years. I have
and you know what? I mean,
exceptional dads. I have two on the line right now.
Yeah,
Chris and Mark. They're very good fathers.
I remember in the 70s, just growing up, and a lot of daddies weren't there, and they were daddies that came out of the 60s. And that song "Papa Was a Rolling Stone" that the Temptations made in the late 60s was talking about a man like that. And I doubt if he was an apparition. I bet you people knew more than one of him, because there was a lot of guys, and I talk to people now that they got a lot of, like, they find out they got a lot of little brothers and half brothers and other things around the country. They didn't know, because daddy was spreading the seed.
Yeah.
So I got 45 and 50 year old people just meeting some brothers and sisters.
I know,
he wasn't taking care of them.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't taking care of them. So I don't know. I just think that sometimes history has a time, as it plays itself out, we can get a better picture. But it ain't been that long ago. And that whole Black Power movement and civil rights movement and the ladies movement, all the movements happened at one time. And it was a lot of pushback against things that people weren't feeling. And there was a lot of women in my grandmother's era that were raising kids by themselves, and there wasn't a man there. And we're talking about late 50s, early 60s. It wasn't a man there.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
You know, because I know for a fact, because I know several families. And even in my
Auntie,
family, I know several situations like that.
Auntie.
Yes.
Aunt Pearl?
Yes.
Okay. So you've been listening to my show for several weeks now, and
Well, I missed last week.
I'm sorry?
I missed last week.
You missed last week? Shame on you.
Yeah.
but you've been listening to the show. I know you've been out there supporting me. And
yes.
I just want to know, aside from this freestyle that you came on with, is there anything else you want to ask the panel of callers?
I have to think about it a few minutes, Bree.
Okay. Well, then, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put you on hold, continue to listen, and we're going to
we're going to
move around and take another caller.
Okay.
Okay? All right. Hold on. Chris.
Yeah, hello.
How you doing?
I'm okay.
Good.
Yes,
you got a freestyle tonight?
My freestyle is going to be about what happened to all the what happened to all the stuff that we grew up on, you know? What happened to all the stuff that we grew up on? The stuff like why are these kids so bummy today?
Be more specific. When you say bummy, are you speaking within the how they dress, their attitude?
Yeah, just how they are. I mean, I'm just looking at
maybe, I mean, it's just, I remember when how you dress went along with, you know, how you felt about yourself or how you felt about life, you know. People used to be sharp and just, you know, compliment each other as far as, you know, how they looked or how they presented themselves. And then you had, you know, these other clothes that you went to school with, these other clothes that you played in the street with, you know, and you just look at the kids today, and it's like they call themselves being individuals, but I just don't see nothing. I don't see nothing there. And, you know, it just bothers me. It just bothers me as an adult because, you know, I grew up on the children are your future, you know. And you look,
right.
you just look at them, and you got to say to yourself, man, the future's looking pretty bleak between the pants sagging off their asses, the way that they talk to each other, the lack of grammar, diction, intelligence. I mean, what are other people's plans to basically try to make it through? I mean, if we got to wait till, you know, if, let's just say God spare your life till you're 80, you know, these people are going to be in charge by then. you know,
right.
does anybody else see the problem with this? You know,
I can say something to that. I guess I've seen it. I work my job is as a social worker and working in homeless shelters for young people. I've seen both sides of it because I have a 20-year-old daughter that goes to the University of Houston. When I go on campus, see a lot of young, educated black folks and white folks and other you know, races, and a lot of them, although they're running around with Beats audio on their head, which is kind of expensive to me, but they're educated and they're interacting. Then when I'm at the shelter, I see young people come through there that are intelligent, but they had a bad break. But then I see a lot of other ones that are kind of what you call bums, I guess. And I look at my son who dresses very sharp, and he's 24. And, I don't know. I've seen it all. I've seen both sides of it. And I think that sometimes it does depend on where you are. And on what, if you venture into certain areas, you might see more of certain things. And likewise, and I think, to be honest, I meet some real sharp kids that I feel good that my future will be in good shape with some of them. I mean, they're technologically savvy. They got a lot of ideas, but they are independent. You're right, because they're not conformist as much as maybe we were, and definitely not as much as our parents were, and definitely not as our parents' parents were. They were. They definitely are. I mean, I see the pants sagging thing, but I remember when we. I don't know about New York, and I think about Chicago and other places where we wore bell bottoms and other pants that was so that my mom and it was like, y'all walking on the bottoms of y'all pants. They're so long and so flared and so big, and they weren't wearing that kind of stuff. And it was like, you can't go looking for no job in no suit like that. You're right. You did have clothes that you wore inside and outside sometimes, but sometimes you didn't. And the reality is style is, and preference is one of those things. The second thing, I don't know. I will not try to speak on that. I've had conversations with young men about it just to find out where they are on it. And basically, all they tell me is this: it's a style. That's a simple thing for them. It don't mean nothing other than it's a style. And I said, so your style is you want your underwear on. I said, why don't you just wear your underwear out and don't wear no pants? That's what I would ask. They said, because that's not part of the style. And they said,
okay.
If the style was underwear, then that's what we'd be wearing. That's not the style. I said, okay. Fine. I don't know. I mean, it's crazy because now you got these straight leg pencil almost pants. So you got guys wearing straight pants as opposed to the super baggy pants, and they're sagging them too. So I mean, I don't know. It's kind of like if us adults sit down and engage some of these young people and see what's on their mind and see that some of them are well spoken. And they may be a picture of what they're wearing, but they may not be that. They may not be that person. If we take time to engage them, we might be surprised at what we get out of them, as opposed to just watching them on the periphery. I mean, and I'm not saying that that's what you're doing, but I'm saying that I always encourage adults to get involved with kids. You know what I'm saying? Because they are our future, and if they're that important to us, then we need to engage them. And one thing about me is, I always engage youthful people. I always do.
Do
that's my
need
thing.
To
I love
some time with children. I was speaking with Community Board 9 Chairman Demetrius Williams, and I was telling him, what are you doing, or what are the plans for Crown Heights to develop more programs for these kids in the summertime? You know, you got to have activities for children so that you have to develop a forum. I agree with what you're saying, Mark, in the sense that you have to engage children. If you're going to influence them so that they can become, because if they know better, they'll do better. So I was speaking with Demetrius Williams and asking him, what can we do and how can I help to get something started so that we can engage the kids over the summertime and, you know, get them thinking about their future. I mean, there were programs for like that for me when I was 8, 9, 10, 14 years old. These churches, in the black communities, there's a church in just about on every block. But I don't hear about any of these churches doing, except for some mega churches that, you know, most of us know about, doing anything for the kids. When I was a teenager with Chris from New York, you know, I participated in a program at St. Mark's Church called the Youth Group. Where are all the youth group programs in the churches that are in all the black communities?
Well, so, you know what? What I would say to that is this, and I was just thinking about what Chris said. All I would ask of adults is this: if you criticize kids about their sagging and addiction or anything else, my question is, does your involvement, interaction, and engagement exceed your criticism? If they don't, then you need to hold your criticism. You should shut up. If you're not going to exceed your involvement and your engagement, shut up. Because that means you really don't care. You just want to be a spectator and a commentator about these kids' lives as opposed to a participant in their lives. Talk to the young men. I talk to them all the time. And see, the thing about it is I also produce hip-hop. I'm a hip-hop producer as well. So I'm an old head, but I got a young heart. And I work with the young brothers, and I get a chance to sit down and talk to them. And you'd be surprised how a good conversation and engaging, how a brother will start considering maybe something you said, especially if it's how you bring it.
Well, Chris, I know you practically all my life. I know you are a conversationalist, and I know that a lot of the brothers that we grew up with and that are growing up in Crown Heights that know you, that you pass by on the street, I know you have no problem talking to any of the young people. Are you having any dialogue with them and asking them this question? Okay. What's motivating you to sag your pants? Other than the style, what is this pulling the pants down off of your behind doing for you? Are you having that conversation?
I'm asking
Chris this. What kind of conversations are you having with young people? Are you? I'm sure you are. But you know, if you are, tell us. What are you finding out by just talking to them?
What I'm finding out is that they all are victims of a lack of structure. And one thing that I would like to add to what you were saying is that, what are the churches doing? The churches are doing something very important, is that they're teaching these kids' parents a way of life. They're teaching them that there's some structure that they don't have. The fact of the matter is that the first teacher is going to be the mother and the father in the home and setting
right.
a good example. If it's not the mother and the father, it's going to be the mother, or it's going to be the father. But the fact of the matter is that the good example has not been set. Because when you have these kids,
it's not being consistently set.
Can I talk about
No, I was saying that, or it's not being consistently set, because then that would be putting all parents in the pot, such as myself, that I know.
Listen, you could feel free to have your opinion. Can I finish saying what I'm saying?
Sure you can.
Okay. Now, what I'm trying to express is that it is not the norm anymore. When I was growing up, the majority of the children had at least had the example set that you're going to act a certain way in public. You're going to act a certain way in school. You're going to act a certain way in church. You were set. You had examples of how to act. Now, the fact that, and people stood behind that. Now today, in those days, you had individuals that stuck their finger up to the system. There were always individuals that said, you know what, I'm going to do what I want to do because I came from this background or that background. And then you also had the ones from the suburbs where they were living in million-dollar homes, and they bucked the system and said, we're going to wear our stuff this way and that way, and we don't care, and stuck their finger up against society as a whole. What I see today, what's so disturbing to me, is that when I was growing up, it was the individuals that were snatching a pocketbook. It was the individuals that were cutting school. It wasn't the majority. Now, it just seems like from the young people that I speak to, it's the majority that's doing these things that destroy the society. It's the majority of them that's doing that, and it's the individuals that are the ones that are sticking out. Those are the ones that are getting, you know, all A's, magna cum laude, so on and so forth. I mean, I was raised in a certain environment, and regardless of my marital status, I always stand behind a strong value system. It's not that what works about it is all the things that are not involved with it. Because even if you don't have all the pleasure you might want to have, you definitely don't have any of the problems. Now, I raised 3 children. My son bought a house 2 years ago. My daughter is engaged to be married. My youngest child is graduating from college this year. So there's no way that I could feel that not setting a good example I could feel that doesn't matter. You know, and there's no way that I can sit there. There's no way that I can sit there with all of my son's friends, and I'm the only one doing it. I'm the only one doing it. As far as if you just look at the way these children, when you talk to them and say, yo, come here, let me talk to you. Well, I mean, I get enough respect in my neighborhood, in my community. I call these kids over. I'm telling them their eyes open up. Their ears open up. They take a seat on the bench because they're like, wow, this guy is like a science fiction movie. Because he's telling me something I ain't never heard before. They don't have nothing to add to the conversation because their mothers and their fathers and whoever they've been coming in contact with has not been doing their job.
Well, can I say something, Chris?
Okay.
Can I say something, Chris?
Go ahead, Mom.
Okay. I'm not disagreeing with what you're saying, but I think sometimes we have to keep our minds clear as to what's the whole picture. Number one, crime, actually, violent crime from stick-ups to rapes to snatching purses actually has gone down. We had more of that, actually, in the late 80s, early 90s than we do now. We have fewer
Not
kids.
In New York. Not here in New York.
I promise you. Go look at the statistics. I just was looking at the statistics. The top 5 cities
make
in the United States.
Right now. I can make a call right now. To the person who plans all this stuff, and he could tell you.
No. What I'm saying is, they just came out with statistics for 2010, and the top 5 cities all of the top five cities, that means from New York all the way down to San Francisco, crime, violent crime is down in the big major cities. It is.
Well,
it's not
are you watching the same news I'm watching?
Yeah, it was. Okay, Google it. I'm telling
Christopher.
Yeah.
Are you watching the same news I'm watching?
You can't look at the news because you get what you get.
Listen, I said Christopher. Are you watching the same news I'm watching?
Well, I watch the same news in New York. Yeah.
Okay. What are you seeing?
So crime is up.
There's no lack of crime here. But there,
none.
What I'm saying
that, but that's not. I'm saying. Okay. The question
I'm
asking is it going? Huh?
If you put the kids that have problems in gangs versus the kids that are getting scholarships, we lose them by a landslide. That's all I know.
What I'm saying is, during the crack era, we had way more crimes and deaths, and that was not just, we're not in the crack era no more. And I'm promising you. We're in the worst,
next to the depression, we're in the worst financial time this country has ever experienced.
Hey, Mark, that provokes crime.
Mark, I'd like to offer you some reasoning behind that. You know why they're not snatching pocketbooks? There ain't no money in them. You know why they ain't snatching jewelry?
Because
they took it all to the pawn shop so they could pay their bills.
I work with homeless kids, so I understand what.
And where do you work for homeless kids?
In Houston, Texas.
Okay, we talking about, we're telling you what our experience
is. Okay, well, I want you to understand
when you give
that
all
your
these
city,
statistics,
your city
they're
is
not,
one city
you
United
give these
States,
statistics,
and all I'm saying is,
give these
even in your city,
you don't believe
city,
the hype, because we live
no.
here.
Okay, so then here's my question. You got to believe something. So what are you believing?
We're telling you, we live here.
No, you live in one place.
Telling you,
there.
We
you
live
in the
here.
Whole city. You don't live on every corner. You don't. None of us do. So you still got to believe. When you say you look at the news. The news
but
is
you
a
know
30
what?
Minute swatch.
Believe what I believe a lot of what I'm seeing on the news. And you know what? I have
but
20
no, no,
people in my
news,
cell phone but, that I can call and verify right. everything that I right. see on the news.
Okay.
I have 20 people.
Is, even if you see everything you see on the news, you have to understand it's a 30-minute spot. You're not getting everything. So you're getting a couple pieces of selected information they want to report. So my point is why you get what you – they choose what they're going to report, Bree. They always have. And now –
And they also – and the same people who choose what they report on television are those same people who are generating those statistics.
Okay, so
remember that.
So here's the thing. So if you're going to believe, all I'm trying to tell you is this. If you're going to believe, if you look at what was going on in 1989 in New York City as opposed to 2012 when it came to handguns, crime, and drug sales, it's a total different world. It really
Listen.
Is.
But only, you know what, they not snatching pocketbooks, but they snatching phones on the train. That's
okay,
the big thing
not,
right now
not,
that they're doing. Right
talking,
or wrong, Christopher.
That's what I'm saying. I'm talking about what I was saying.
No, you're talking about people are not snatching pocketbooks and they not snatching chains.
Those people don't have chains. Those people don't have murder rates in their pockets.
But they have other things now that are getting snatched. People on the train with these iPads, they getting snatched. Everyone has a smartphone. Very seldom. I think there's only one person that I know that have a flip phone. That's my cousin Timmy. I ain't seen a flip phone in like 5 years. Everyone has a damn Android phone or iPhone. And they all getting snatched on the train.
Yeah, I'm gonna say it again. I understand.
One of my friends is a transit cop, and he told. And when I moved back to New York,
said,
"Bree, do me a favor."
I'm asking you a question. My only question is about the fact that crime has always been going on, but you're suggesting it's more out of control and it's more anarchy than ever before.
I'm not suggesting this. I'm telling you. I'm not suggesting.
So you say it is.
Listen, didn't I just say to you, I have 20 people. If they all didn't work crazy shifts, I wish there's some way I could get them on the damn on the radio show so that they can tell you, because they all law enforcement officers.
I wish you could. I just don't know. I'm just saying.
Lord have mercy, and we live here. I'm telling you what's going on.
Man, y'all don't remember every day how many people was getting killed. Well, let me ask you a question.
That stuff happened 10, 15 years ago, and we don't remember all their names and faces. But you know what? We can remember recent names and faces of people that got beat up, thrown on the track, dragged because they had a cell phone that somebody wanted to snatch.
What was he talking about right now? Okay, you got it. I'm pretty sure it is. I'm wrong. My bad. New York is an apparition. It is a city unto itself, and you're probably right. You probably got the worst crime that you've ever seen in the last 20 years. I don't believe you, though, and I don't think you know that to be true. I think you're saying it because you're out here and you're reporting.
We didn't say the worst crime. You stated that crime has gone down.
It has risen as a result of lack of resources and the devices that are being snatched now. Wait a minute. Well, they were snatching chains before they were snatching cell phones. Forget all of that. Ain't what I'm talking about. I ain't talking about that. I'm saying violent. I'm talking about the reality. This is a reality. There are fewer murders in the whole United States last year. That it has been in the last 14 years. The CDC, the Center of Disease, whatever, in Atlanta, just said we have had an all-time low in the last 40 years of murders this last year, 2010, in the United States. People just are not killing like they used to kill anymore. But there is more apathy, probably. There are more people that are probably sitting around. They ain't killing nobody, but they ain't doing nothing.
They're violent crimes here, Mark. There are violent crimes here. You can't watch
people on
television for somebody not getting killed. And let us not talk about the Labor Day parade. I had friends that worked the Labor Day parade that was calling me, Bree, you're not in Brooklyn, are you? Don't come here. Don't come here. So you can't tell me what I know, because this is my planet. This is where I'm from. I couldn't tell you a damn thing about Houston, Texas, because I don't know. But this is my planet. I'm telling you, I know this for a fact. Violent crimes happen here every day. Petty crimes happen here every day. So what are we really talking about here? Hello? Okay, we're going to take another caller. Peace and blessings. This is your girl, Bree. This is Bree Life Radio, and you know it's Freestyle Thursdays. I'm quite sure you heard it. Timmy?
Yeah, hello.
Okay. I'm quite sure you heard me talking about you with your flip phone.
But hey, it serves a purpose, and I'm quite happy.
And guess what? If you gotta get on the train, you don't have to worry about nobody wanting to snatch it.
Nobody even knows I have it. But that's why I got a car, so I don't have to deal with that train business.
Okay, so, you know, what's your freestyle today?
I really hadn't come up with one, truthfully. In a funk right now.
Just doing your daily supporting of your cousin, and I love you for it.
And I love you. So, you know, basically, you know, today I realized that, you know, I'm in a paradox of events, like we were talking earlier, so. Not to get too much of it on the air, but
okay.
Know, things colliding all at once, and I'm in the center of it all, being bombarded.
Well, you know what? We're at the top of or the middle of Bree Life Radio Freestyle Thursdays. So with my very good friend Christopher on the line, I am going to bring up my freestyle for today. I had received one or two emails, and this is a topic that Christopher and I were talking about earlier, and that is that there are a handful of people that seem to have a problem with the fact that I referenced The Cosby Show.
Okay.
Why? I don't know. But when I was referencing The Cosby Show in the context of my show yesterday, I was talking about the communication that would existed between Cliff and Claire Huxtable, not the fact that he was a doctor and she was a lawyer and they probably earned $500,000 collectively a year.
Okay.
The Cosby Show, in many senses, were my reality because I had parents that loved one another and communicated in colorful ways at times, but they had their special communication, and that worked for them. I had aunts and uncles that were married for 50, 60 years. I have an aunt, Moretta, and Uncle Bernard that were married 55 years before my uncle passed away. One of the most loving relationships that were non-fictional that I ever witnessed. These were my realities. So when I referenced The Cosby Show, I referenced The Cosby Show in that context of communication, which I keep speaking about over and over and over again. People, men, women, my brothers and sisters, whoever is in earshot of my voice, we have to learn how to communicate better. We really do. Because questions like the one that my Aunt Pearl just got on Freestyle Thursday and posed was, why do men and women immediately jump into living with one another? That's going to be a question that's continuously asked, along with a bunch of other social dysfunctional things that take place between men and women, because we do not have enough dialogue going on between us that's clear and concise. And when we can get over that hurdle, you may begin to see improvement in the relationships that you're having with one another. It sounds like a cliche, but it is what it is. What do you think, Christopher? You know, we were talking about this earlier, and I feel strongly about it. That's my freestyle for today.
Yeah, I mean, I completely understand the communication aspect of it, and I think that waiting to be able to talk to each other like that is unnecessary. Waiting to be able to talk to each other, waiting till you are a lawyer and I'm a doctor, is ridiculous. I think that it's a good standard as far as two people who obviously loved each other. But I believe that I don't care whether you use The Cosby Show or whether you use one of the
I was berated for not using Good Times and using The Cosby Show.
Well, you know what?
That speaks to how we think about ourselves too.
All right, when you finish, go ahead.
Go on.
Okay, I think that Good Times was a good example too, because the fact is that they obviously have respect for each other. They obviously were trying to hold down a family. I think that those things are synonymous with a lot of the shows that were from the past. But you know, come on, today, look at the relationships. One of the best shows is the one with Charlie Sheen. You know, where he's got the Playboy. You know, it exemplifies the Playboy millionaire off of doing some silly stuff. And now you have he writes jingles, okay? But he's a Playboy millionaire with the house on the beach. But then his brother, who is divorced and his wife took him to the cleaners, has to live with him with his son. And he's some kind of therapist or something like that, you know? So look at what they're exemplifying. Look at what the youth. Look at the kind of shows that the youth are watching today, and wonder why everybody wants a get rich quick scheme, or why they look down on these people that work hard and get a lot of education as a bunch of squares. Because the fact of the matter is, I mean, I went through it in the 70s. I went through it where you know, the pimps and the players. I mean, these are the guys that are driving the fine cars and fly rides and had all the women and so on and so forth. And then we got to a point where the middle class and the middle upper class started shining. I mean, now all of a sudden, anybody can have a house. Anybody can have a BMW. Anybody can have a Benz. But at the end of all of that, what ended up happening? We told our children that money was a lie. That's why we're in a recession. That's why a lot of people don't even call it a recession. They call it a correction. It was a whole bunch of money moving around as a result of a bunch of lies. But meanwhile, the drug dealer still got money because he's still selling drugs and the price didn't go down. And all of the hustlers, whether they be legal hustlers or illegal hustlers, are still getting money right now. So what have we actually, everybody I know that went to college, I would say at least 50% of them, when we're talking about money, is going to talk about, you know, man, I really wish I could get rid of that school loan. The reason why that thing follow you forever. That thing follow you for the rest of your life. So when you look at who's complaining versus who looks like they're living without a care, these are the examples that your kids. All I can say is that in my house, I wasn't outnumbered because I had the time to spend with my children and talk to them. But when it comes to all of these little kids that you talk to in the street, as Mark was talking about, I may be having a conversation with you once every 2 weeks, or maybe once a month, or maybe once in your lifetime, because I just saw you on the side of the road and said, yo, what's up? What's wrong with you? What you doing right now? The fact of the matter is that as far as examples are concerned, we are outnumbered. And the people in our own neighborhood who were the doctors and the lawyers and the judges and all the people we grew up around, where, oh, such and such had the big house, the Spencer family that you mentioned earlier. I mean, all of these people ended up being very introverted because they were starting to be bombarded by crime. Starting to be bombarded. I mean, you talk about people whose house was broken into in the last year, car was broken into. People not stealing nothing no more. They just want to snatch, grab what they can. They can't get nothing off you because, like I said, you know, people in New York stopped wearing jewelry a while back.
Right.
All of that flashing and showboating went out the window. Okay. I don't remember the last time I saw a car with rims on it, tint on it, music blasting, because people are not having a good time here. What they are doing is the hustlers are on their grind. The people that's working hard is on their grind. And the criminal and the criminal element is still shining. I mean, this is what I'm seeing. I'm seeing, like, this is why I'm shaking my head. It's because when you got all of these people where you don't have the relationships, all right, and you know what? I would never put that on a man. I'm not going to put it on women either. But the fact is that with all these relationships going south, and even when you're in a relationship, it don't count for nothing because there's no accountability. I don't mind, you know, listen, Mark has his feeling about our relationships. The fact of the matter is that the only difference of opinion that I have with him is in my heart. That's it. Because in reality, if you want to be in a relationship, the only relationships that are out here are the ones that I hear described. We and you talked about this earlier. The only relationships are you getting together with somebody who we'll see what happens. These are the relationships that are developing into your sex partners. These are the relationships that are developing into your roommates with benefits. And I don't blame anybody because I don't think it takes two people to believe the same thing. I can't get what I want unless I got somebody who want to give it to me. Now, is it at what point do I give up? And I think that the pressure of society is going to force everybody eventually to give up. Because at the end of the day, you're not working with nothing. You can sit there and want to have somebody who shares your views. You can want to have somebody that shares your spirit. But the fact of the matter is, what do you do if you don't? Are you going to rock by yourself for 10 years, 20 years? At what point do you work with what you got? At what point do you say, hey, if you really get tired of being alone and you really get horny or you really get hungry or you really get broke, at what point do you say, you know what, all right, it's my turn. Now you're in the same situation as them, sleeping with somebody that, I kind of like her, but, you know, I don't love her. At what point do you sit there and start to say, wow, I used to look down on this dude. But the fact is, maybe he experienced the same thing I do, ain't nothing to work with. Or maybe he wasn't nothing to work with. But the fact is, it only takes one person to screw up a relationship, but it takes two people to make it work.
Okay, well,
that's all I got to say.
All right. And it was well said. Thank you very much, Chris. We're going to take a caller. Well, hold on. Peace and blessings. You've reached Bree Life Radio. I'm your host, Bree, and this is Freestyle Thursdays. Who may I have the pleasure of talking to? Hello? Okay, that person is just wanting to listen, and I appreciate their support. Hello? Okay. Hello?
Hello?
Hi, this is Bree Life Radio. I'm your host, Bree, and you have reached Freestyle Thursdays. Who am I talking to? Hello? Okay, I'm going to give that person a chance to get their technology together. Well, Chris, as usual,
yeah.
You know, Freestyle Thursdays go over quite well. is one of my top rated shows, and I love this no holds bar interaction that we have with one another. It's spirited. It should be. It's freestyle.
Yeah. Well, it is. I mean, I think most of what you experience out here is a freestyle these days. because, one, like I said, one of the reasons why it doesn't pay, one of the reasons why I don't take baggage from one relationship into another is because the people are so immensely different. I mean, it don't make no difference. You could come from the same block, same neighborhood. Everybody's different. Nothing that I learned back then is going to protect me from you. And nothing I learned from you is going to protect me from somebody else.
Okay. Well, I just received a instant message on Facebook. It's our girl Candy again. And her freestyle question is, why do people think money can bring them happiness?
She must be about 20.
And you know what? I think Brother Mark has decided to rejoin the conversation, so we're going to bring him on the line. Is this Mark from Houston, Texas?
It surely is.
Okay.
Sorry about that. Hey, I just for the record, you know me, I know what I know and I don't know what I know. I got to say this, and I was looking at the New York Post, New York Times actually, they said there were 2,245 murders in New York in 1990, but the total has been less than 600 for the last past 9 years. Crime is down everywhere. People ain't killing people like they used to kill people. I'm promising you, even in your fair city of New York, which has
crime was comparable to 1990. You're still
what I was saying is it's been declining. Check this out. This is what I'm trying to say. It has its
What's that noise?
That's not me. I don't know.
Okay. Chris, we're getting some feedback on the line here.
Yeah, hello?
You got to figure it out.
Are you getting feedback on my line?
I don't know.
Not on mine.
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not doing that.
The only thing I was saying, and just to end that, is that there are spikes from time to time, all the time. But when it comes to crime over the last 20 years, our cities are safer than they've been over the last 20 years. Here's the thing. Just because they're safer, the perception of safety is not the same thing as the actual numbers of safety. So if people are not feeling safer, then they don't feel safer. But to be honest, our kids aren't doing the wildest things that they've ever done in the past. Unfortunately, a lot of them are less motivated to even commit crimes. I see them. They're sitting around. They ain't doing nothing a lot of times, unfortunately. A lot of the kids, they just feel like they're outcasts and they're just going to be that way. And they kind of
Well, that was my point exactly when I was talking to the Community Board 9 chairman. And he agrees, and I'm going to do whatever I can do to help him. You know, it's my understanding there's an armory. If you were listening to our first Breeze Block Party, where I believe the person who I dubbed our Crown Heights historian, Richard Cole, was talking about armory that is on a four-block radius. It's on President, Union, Rogers, Bedford Avenues. Well, they closed that armory down. And the community board leader was saying that the city has bought that building, and what they're thinking about doing is opening up the armory to provide some summer youth programs, which I think is a fantastic idea. And I want to inspire people to get involved. To donate any time, materials, anything they possibly can to this project, because this is definitely something that will benefit the children of Crown Heights.
So what I was saying was that, yes, you have kids that are more apathetic, but you also have to understand something else, that there's an increase. What has increased, crime has decreased to greater degrees, but what has increased is the number of diagnoses or apparent diagnoses of bipolar, schizophrenia,
and major depression amongst youth between the ages of 14 up to 30. And that's the population that basically I see. And because the organization that I work for here in Houston, they have actually the headquarters is in New York, and they have one in New York. The New York numbers are quite similar. We're seeing a lot of kids that are in need of mental health services right now. I mean, I'm talking about the fact that there's a lot of things. When you're majorly depressed, a lot of times you ain't got to worry about committing a lot of crimes. The other thing is weed smoking is a crack use is down, but weed smoke is higher. And the higher levels of THC that's in the weed that these kids are smoking are creating quicker onsets for schizophrenia with people that have the DNA markers for it. So you're seeing kids have, and it's usually young men. So you got black young men especially who are smoking a lot of weed that are predisposed to schizophrenia, and they're starting to go into manics. They go into manic episodes. They go into these withdrawal modes. So you got kids talking to themselves. All of that stuff is happening on greater degrees. And the funny thing about it is if you run into a schizophrenic man, you ain't got to worry about him sticking you up or probably doing too much to you because he's running from you. He's scared of you. He's not attacking you. And the increased numbers of apathy is also when you start losing hope and you start getting more in despair and you quit, then you ain't committing crimes a lot of times. You're just really not. You're just quitting. You know, now some of those go-getters and hustlers that I heard Chris talking about, yeah, you know, a guy that's a hustler at heart, you know, he's an entrepreneur of sorts, if you want to, you know, call him that. So therefore, he's going to make it pop. He's going to make it crack. You know what I'm saying? But a lot of folks ain't got that. They don't even have that. They don't even have that energy because they're quitting, you know. And as far as churches, I know I heard you say, Bree, is churches on every corner and synagogues and every other kind of organization that's around that we used to look at being more wraparound services. I mean, some of it is money, but sometimes it's not money because a lot of times it's not even asking the kid why he's sagging his pants. It's asking him how he feels. It don't make a difference with how he sag his pants because sometimes if a person feels better, he'll do better. So I ain't got to ask him about, boy, why are you sagging your pants? I don't care why you're sagging your pants. I really don't. I need to know what's going on with you. How you
doing? I was just using that as an example to say.
No. I'm not attacking.
You,
I'm just saying.
Are you
engaging? I've heard a lot of my contemporaries. But Bree, wait a minute. I've heard a lot of my contemporaries, and that's like one of the easiest things I hear my contemporaries. They focus on is this pants sagging. That's the quickest thing that you hear a lot of adults say. Look at them, they sagging their pants. Even when we had that one show and we were talking about the dub guy. One of the big statements that kept being put out of people's mouths was, and a guy that's sagging his pants. So wait a minute. So sagging pants obviously is something that obviously irritates a lot of people. But my point is, and I wasn't saying so much you. I'm saying my contemporaries. I hear it a lot. Them boys sagging their pants. And I'm saying, okay, fine. They do sag their pants. That's a reality. But I'm just saying starting a dialogue, finding out what's going on, how they view their present and their future. How do they view that? And like Chris said, you know, I understand these kids are coming out of broken homes or whatever. But the reality is you never know who's going to make it. You never know who's going to make it out of the group.
Hold on a second. We're going to bring Chris from New York back on the line because I believe we lost him.
So, yeah, do you still hear the noise? Hello?
Chris? No, we don't hear any noise.
No, I remember you were saying you were hearing some kind of interference, so.
Okay. No
interference. But like Chris was saying, you know, I understand the fact that there are definitely changes as far as how we're interacting. And he was saying something when I got on the phone, back on the phone again, and he was saying something about making adjustments in this new paradigm shift that we are experiencing when it comes to how we're dating and if someone wants to be alone, what they're going to have to do. I guess I'm not as bleak about our future with the situation. I'm a little more optimistic. I think that ingenuity and change and shifts create opportunities to investigate new forms. Because you got to remember, as a society, we have always evolved. We've gone to different forms. We've done different things to try to work some things out. And so I'm not afraid of new forms of relationships, because I think relationships have evolved, because marriage wasn't always about love anyway. You know what I'm saying? It really wasn't. It was about keeping the community together. And if you go way back to 4500 BC, when the first documented marriage contract was in Mesopotamia, you will see it was very clear. It was about the man doing certain things for this woman that was betrothed to him with a dowry. And this is what they did. He didn't even know the woman. She was paired with him. So it wasn't about a loving relationship. It was about a functional thing. And the whole concept of love and marriage kind of has evolved. So to me, I'm hopeful that we will see other ways and have a desire to say, you know what, we still have desires for each other, and we still have the desire to connect, and we've been having problems with that, and we've seen it in marriage. So now maybe we can sit down and try to figure out an answer to that, because neither one of us are going away. We still desire each other, and we're in the same space. So we got to work it out. And sometimes, hey, who knows? Because the only thing I was thinking about when we were talking about living with each other and then the marriage thing is that marriages are not working. Not just marriages not working, but relationships are having shorter lifespans too, because they're growing pains. And a lot of times when they're growing pains, we're trying to figure it out. We don't know. It's a different dynamic. And when we were talking yesterday about what does a woman want and all that other kind of stuff, these are things that we didn't really have to consider what a woman wanted 50 years ago. We didn't. We just went to her and said, you're going to be my woman, and she said, okay. And we did what we did, because we figured we knew what we were doing. But now it's not that simple. It's a little more restlessness. It's a little more pickiness. When I talk to women, they talk about things they want, but then they have concerns about how men communicate and their styles and their desire to want to continue to want them. So that tells me that, wait a minute, these are conversations that were not being talked about 50 years ago. They just weren't. Because we play roles. You the man, I'm the woman, I come over and get you, you come with me, that kind of thing. We don't do that no more. It ain't that simple. So that's kind of really what I'm thinking about, how are we going to navigate this. And I don't know. I'm open to the new frontier. I'm part of that new frontier because I'm trying to work through it myself.
Okay, well, that was a mouthful. Okay. So we've had a few freestyles here. I see that we have another caller, and it's one of our regular guest callers, one of my favorite friends, Big C. Peace and blessings.
What's going on, people?
What's going on? Have you been listening?
Harvick.
What's your freestyle, baby?
I just tuned in. My freestyle right now is just to listen and catch a vibe of what's going on. I just tuned in.
As you know, we have Mark from Houston, Texas on the line.
What's going on, Mark?
What's going on, C?
No, that's Carl. That's Big C.
Oh, he said Big C.
Yeah, I said C. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't hear. And then we also have Chris from New York on.
What's going on, Chris from New York?
All right.
So, as you know, it's Thursday.
I tuned in to see what was going on, and I just tuned in. I went Mark, and I heard the last part where Mark was disgusting, and that was it.
We have a young lady who's also from Pennsylvania, Candy. And I think before Chris got cut off, she had asked me by sending me an instant message on my Facebook page, Bree Life Radio. Why do people think that money would bring them happiness? What say you all about money and happiness? Do you think it's synonymous? with one another? Okay. Do you think that, what are you thinking about money?
Oh, I like to add to that. When I, when I was younger, I totally believed that. I believed the more money that I made, the more that I worked hard at positioning myself to be financially sound, and that that would bring me joy / happiness. As the years gone by, I don't agree with that that phrase anymore. That's it.
Okay. What about you, Chris? What do you think about the concept of people feeling that money would bring them happiness? And, I mean, what do you think?
You know, like I said, I'm a little too old for that. I mean, you know, we all know that money don't bring you happiness. You know, we want things. We want things that that are more tangible than that. You know, we want things that when you start talking about these relationship issues. I mean, we looking for. I mean, when you're talking about your when I'm thinking about my children. When I'm thinking about my grandchildren, you know, money could put a kid in the most prestigious school in the world, but it can't get them to want to learn. You know, it can't get them, it can't give them the drive, that the stuff that you want to see come from the inside out. So there's just so many things that I want at this point in my life that money can't buy, that don't get me wrong, I ain't turning down the money, but I just know that it don't start and end with money. No, I know that for a fact.
Okay.
That's all I got to say about it.
Mark, what say you?
Well, to me, money, anything outside of me, whether it be money or people, if it's outside of me, then I'm seeking the wrong source. I have happiness is always inside in my mind. So no one can give me that. So money surely couldn't, and another human being couldn't either. I can have a tactile, sensual, when I say sensual, I'm talking about the five senses. I can have a sensual pleasure from many things. But the contentment that comes whether things are great or good, and that's what I call happiness, a level of contentment and serenity, I can't get that outside of by anybody. So a girlfriend can't give me that. Nor can George Washington on a piece of paper give it to me. So if you're seeking anything outside of yourself to fulfill yourself, you're on the wrong track anyway. That's my take on it.
Okay. Well, that is a very good take on it. I think all three of the callers have reasonable assessments of how, you know, money can't bring you happiness, but it just, I think money just makes things a little more comfortable, allows you to have some freedoms to make decisions that, you know, will allow you a certain level of freedom and bounceability and movability. But if you're not happy with yourself, and if you're not happy with what and who you spend and share your time and space with, then, you know, you're missing the point. So the only thing I feel that money can do with that is just provide a distraction. Happiness is something completely different. This young lady also wants to know, and here's a very controversial topic. She also wants to know, and I'm not sure we have enough time for this topic, but she'd like to know, why do men feel that they can put their hands on a woman? Who wants to jump in on this one?
I give up.
Well, I guess the question is this, why, and not so much a question, but men want to put their hands on anybody because of an inferior feeling. And when you're feeling inferior, when you're feeling threatened, when you're feeling small, then you do things like that. Because what happens is you don't know how to relate to people around you. Whenever you have to use violence to relate, then that means that you're having some problems. So a man that's putting his hands on a woman is a man. I mean, because you could ask him, why do men put hands on men? I mean, to me, you shouldn't be putting your hands on nobody. You know what I'm saying? I mean, if you're defending yourself because of your life being in danger, that's one thing. A person in fear, a person that needs to try to rule by fear and intimidation because they have a lack of value within themselves, will put their hand on somebody. Because remember this, if he puts his hands on you, that's letting you know he doesn't value you and probably he doesn't value humanity. So that means that he'll put his hands on anyone per se. Now, he may think about it because he's a bigger guy or a smaller guy, but if he knew he could take a bigger dude and the dude made him mad and he reacted to a person with anger, he put hands on him too. Because that's just what people do. That's why you have bullies. And yet there are guys that put hands on girls because, yeah, they're weaker, but trust me, if they knew they could put hands on a man that made them, that irritated them or whatever, they hit them too. So, I mean, that's my take.
Okay. You know, it's funny because if you remember a couple of days ago, I was talking about a man that I kind of met 3 months ago, and mystically, magically decided to call me for the first time in 90 days. And kind of just felt like we could just jump back into conversation. And I find it unbelievable that he could think that we could do that. So because I told him and I shared with him that, you know, I host a show on Blog Talk Radio, the Bree Life Radio Show, and I shared the caller number, which is 424-220-1862. He said he was going to call in because he's been listening to the show, and he actually listened to the show when I was complaining about the fact that, you know, he would wait 90 days to call me back. And when I answered the phone, I said, wow, that was the longest 10 minutes I ever experienced in my entire life. So if you're still listening to the sound of my voice, I'm waiting for you to call. There's still 13 minutes in for the show that the show is going to be on the air. So I would love for you, because he threatened me. He threatened that he was actually going to call the show today and kind of, you know, thought to me about this on the air. I was like, wow, that's rather bold. That's my freestyle. Men got to step up to the plate and be consistent. You cannot call us, you cannot get a sister's number.
You can't do
call
that.
Her once, talk to her for 3 minutes. Call her 90 days later and talk to her for 5. And think you're making progress.
I think we all can do it. And I'm not saying anything against what you're saying, but when you say men got to step up to the plate, my issue is that men and women have a tendency to like to call each other out a lot. Women don't know what they want. Men need to step up to the plate. And when we do that, that's somewhat inflammatory, and that stirs the pot up, because the reality is people do what they know to do. And when they can do something better, they usually do. When they know they can do something better, they do. He is where he is. And
he is where he is.
He is where he is. He is. So step up to the
plate. And I'm okay
men,
where he is.
So when you say brothers step up okay, to the plate, or man step up
is.
To the plate, that's a blanket statement to men.
Is it really? I have 3 on the line. Is that what you all feel?
Well, I was trying to argue with my freestyle, but keeping with the flow of the conversation. That statement that men need to step up to the plate, I think that is kind of biased because a relationship takes two, and it's just like I take that statement along the same lines as when a woman said there's no good black men out here.
I think
those two statements go in hand. That men need to step up to the plate. It's a two-sided coin here. I mean, it is something that was missing, or
yeah,
for whatever
his ability
reason,
to stay in contact with me.
Yeah.
Well, there have been, there might have been some circumstances that something happened.
You know what he told me? His circumstances were, I have a business. I said, yeah, I have two, and I work, and I'm somebody's mama.
Yeah,
okay? Time management. Okay, see, it all comes down to what I said yesterday, time management. If you cannot manage your time, and I'm not talking about squeezing me in, I'm talking about making time for me consistently. I'm not talking about squeezing me in.
That's for you. Going to step up to the plate. I promise you. He will step up. The man that got Bree's name tattooed on his forehead is going to come up to him and step up to that daggone plate. He's going to have that time. So to me, as opposed to this whole concept that men need to step up to the plate, no, the man for you will step up to the plate because you ain't worried about all men anyway. You just worry about that
no,
one
I'm not.
Come to you, and the one will come to you and embrace you and say, baby, I got you. What time you need? And I got you.
That's right.
You know what? That's the perfect answer right there.
But I think Chris, what are you trying to say?
The one that makes it all the way through, that's the one for you. He's not
limiting
himself.
Right. So,
Chris, it's not men. Wait, hold on, please. Hold on. Chris, what was you trying to say something?
No. I wasn't adding nothing.
Oh, okay. I thought you said Sabrina. Okay.
So it's men. That whole men.
All right.
Women.
Well, you know what? I see another caller, so I'm going to bring them on the line. Mm-hmm. Peace and blessings. You've reached the Bree Life Radio Show. I'm your girl, Bree, and it's Freestyle Thursday. I got 5 minutes left. What's your freestyle? Well, that don't sound good. Hello, this is Bree Life Radio. No one.
Is that the sound effect from a flush and toilet?
I don't know what was going on there. That might be their freestyle. What was your freestyle?
What was your freestyle? My freestyle was that the issue about someone laying hands on another person. I'm speaking for myself. I never laid a hand on a female. Never. But I have been the victim of a female laying hands on me.
No, I have a hard time believing that. And if people had the chance to see a picture of you, they'd be like, what?
Well, and the words that came out of their mouth, because they knew that no one would take my time. I'm 6'7". I block a doorway when I come in. That's from the sides and the top. And these persons they were individuals that I was in relationships with, and because I didn't go there, and you know they said things, I said things, but they resulted in laying hands on me, and it was so crazy that on one instance, I called the police, waited for the police, the police came and saw the marks on me. They proceeded to lock her up. A female supervisor came along, and because she was bawling that she was going to be locked up, the female supervisor turned around and took her to the side, and they discussed something for a couple of minutes and came back and said, well, she says he hit her. Well, if she's going to go down, then And she came back to me and said, well, if you're going to press charges, she's going to press charges against you, and we're going to take both of you down.
I heard that one before.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Wow.
And to protect myself from any further legal ramifications, I went to the nearest ER and had them take pictures of the scratches on my face, my chest, and my back.
So when you sitting down, she scratched your face, how'd she get to your face?
Yeah, well, that's what I wanted to know. How'd she get to your back?
Wait a minute.
Hey.
What was going on that she was able to get?
I don't want to know.
Okay, that's another freestyle.
Whoa. It's another
wow.
I'll tell you the rest of it.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
Okay, two minutes. Come on.
I got one. Women need to step up to the plate.
Oh, Lord.
I'm tired of hearing the state of men. Women need to step to the plate. I'm tired of
you needed to call in yesterday.
I'm tired of these fracking alcohol women going around. Come on, we. They need to step up to the plate.
Right.
And be a real woman.
Hey, so can I have a question?
Think what you want. Mean what you say and stick by it. Don't be flippant. Whenever the mood changes you.
Okay, what's your question, Mark? Mark? Okay, we might have lost Mark. Hello? Big C?
You?
Okay. I think we lost Mark.
I think I'm the only one left.
No. Chris is still here.
Oh well. Yeah, I think that some women do need to step up to the plate.
Oh boy. And okay, so tell me, in 1 minute, 30 seconds each, what do you think we need to do? What do you think we should do? I don't want to hear what we've been doing you don't want us to do. What do we need to do?
You need to learn how to cook.
Okay.
I ain't worried about that. No, just be realistic in your expectations.
Okay. All right. Well, as always with Bree Life Radio, you know, I like to close the show with a little thought to take in mind. And it's something that I said a few moments ago, and I mean it from the bottom of my heart. Two things. We need to learn how to communicate. And secondly, when you know better, you do better. So I want to thank all my guest callers for calling into Bree Life Radio. I want to thank all the listeners as usual. Call us back on Tuesday. The number is 424-220-1862. You can follow us on Bree Life Radio at Twitter, Bree Life Radio at Facebook. And also, blogtalkradio.com/Bree Life. And then, as usual, peace and blessings. I love you all on purpose. I'm out.
Yeah, yeah. Adrian in the building. Shout out to Bree.
What up, Bree?
And we finna go in. Look.
Yes, sir.
Look. We came to break down a few topics here. So if you got time, sit and acknowledge it. It's positive, uplifting, and honest here. Keep your ears open and soaking all the words spoken. A couple of jokes to keep it fun, get your laugh on. And maybe a few pointers to get your cash on. See, Bree, she all about building. Straight up out the NY, Brooklyn in the building. All the way down to the southern states. West Coast on up to the Great Lakes. So you fragging that gold, so if you ain't fragile, through the net connection, we streaming you to Mexico.
So welcome to the life of Bree, breaking down the
mouth
to the third degree.
This is the Bree life, what you live in life.
Welcome to the Bree life,
how we live in life.
From politics to the current events, economics to race, whether you're poor or you're rich.
This is the Bree life, what you live in life.
Welcome to the Bree life,
how we live.